Now we're holding on Kuf Amud Beis, the second line from the bottom. We were learning about the matter of which Gid HaNosha is Osir. It's definitely Osir from a kosher animal. No question, a person eats a Gid HaNosha from a kosher animal, then he's Chayav Malkus. The question is, what about from a non-kosher animal? So we said in the Mishnah that the Tanakhama had said that it applies only to kosher animals, not non-kosher ones, whereas Rabbi Yehuda said it applies to non-kosher ones as well, on the grounds that, after all, it applied to Yaakov's sons and descendants, even before Matan Torah. Whereas the Chachamim countered that, no, it didn't apply to them then. The mitzvah was given at Matan Torah, like all other mitzvahs. It's just recorded in Parshas Vayishlach, even though it was given after the Torah was given. Okay, so now in that connection, we brought a braisa that said that if a person eats a gid anosha from a non-kosher animal, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that he's chayav double malchus, and Rabbi Shimon is going to say he's potter. So we said that. So how does that work out? So we went back and forth on the question: is it a matter of yesh begidin menosin tam or ein begidin menosin tam? Is it a And in the end, we said that yes, it's also to begin with as having been a behemoth tmeya, and afterwards, when the gid forms, though, Rabbi Yehuda is going to consider the issur of gid anosha to be a stronger issur because it applies to bnei noyach as well. Again, whether that means it applies across the board to bnei noyach even now, or whether it means it applied across the board to bnei noyach only before Matan Torah, or whether it means to begin with it applied only to the Jewish people who at that point were still considered bnei noyach. We talked about yesterday different understandings among Rishonim about that. Okay. In any case, Gufa, so getting back to what we learned in the Braisa before, we said, Ha'echo gid anosha shabahemet meya, person eats a gid anosha from a non-kosher animal, such as a horse, Rabbi Yehuda machayev shtayim, Rabbi Yehuda says he's chayev double malchus, Rabbi Shimon, so we explain why Rabbi Yehuda would say he's chayev double malchus, but now let's focus on Rabbi Shimon Poiter, that Rabbi Shimon said he's potter completely. He doesn't get malchus for eating from behemet meya, and he doesn't get malchus for eating gid anosha either. So now we have to figure out why Rabbi Shimon says that. Rabbi Shimon Monafshach. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, why is he saying that he's potter altogether? E isu chalal isu. If you say that one isu is able to be chal on top of another one, if not indeed, then he should indeed be able to be chayev for gid anosha, for the same reason we said before, because the horse was also even before it was born. And later on the isser of gid anosha comes. So then in fact he should be chayev. So at this point we're going to assume that Rabbi Shimon holds that yesh begidin menosin tam, and therefore the gid is like any other meat of the animal. So then he should be mechayev for both. In isser chalal isser, and if you're going to say that he holds that one isser cannot be chal on top of another one, l'chayim mishum tumah dekadim, at least you should be chayiv for the fact that the tumah of the non-kosher animal came first, again before the gid forms, or at least before it becomes noticeable as a gid. Now Tosfos points out that anyway. Now this is again. So this is if we assume that yesh begidin menosin tam. This is if we assume that the gid itself has a flavor and therefore it's considered like meat. Then one way or the other, either he should be chayav one malchus for behemoth tmeya, or another malchus on top of that for the gid anosha, or at the very least though he should be chayav for the behemoth tmeya. The e ein begidin menosin tam, and if he holds that gidim do not have a flavor and therefore you can't be mechayav him for eating meat from a non kosher animal. Then at least the chayav mishum gid, at least he should be chayav on the grounds of gid anosha. So why is Reb Shimon saying he's potter altogether? In fact, Tosfos points out that as it is, Reb Shimon holds that anyway that ein isu chalal isu at all. As we're going to see soon in the Gemara, we're going to talk about a case of a person that we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara, various matters involving Yom Kippur. And you have a case, for example, you have a case in the Gemara in Pesachim where a person eats nevela on Yom Kippur, where Reb Shimon holds that he's chayev only for one thing. Reb Shimon would hold across the board that ein isur chalal isur. So the Gemara could have even asked that, but the Gemara has better questions, basically. But yes, so one way or the other, whether yesh begidin menosin tam or ein begidin menosin tam, either way, he should be chayev for at least one isser, maybe even two. Fine, if we're going to say Reb Shimon holds any isser chalal isser, then the maximum is ever going to be one, but where is Reb Shimon getting that it should be zero? So the answer is Amar Rava, La'olam kasava ein megidin menosin tam. In fact, Reb Shimon holds that gidim do not have a flavor, so therefore there's no isser of the fact that he's eating the flesh of a horse, because it's not considered to be flesh. Then the question is, why doesn't the issue of Gidan Noshachal, the shiny Hossam, because it's different over there, the Omakra, because the Torah specifically says, Alkein lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael is Gidan Nosha. That therefore, b'nei Yisrael do not eat the Gidan Nosha, and the implication of that phrasing in the Pasuk is, in other words, he holds, like the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, that Gidan Nosha does not apply to Behemoth Tmeya. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Alkein lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael is Gidan Nosha, from which we learn, Misha Gidei Osur v'Ubsare Mutter. The din applies only to an animal where the Gid itself is Osur, but the rest of the flesh of it is Mutter. As opposed to a horse or whatever other non-kosher animal, which the gid is anyway also, but so is the flesh of it also, then Reb Shimon is learning from the Pasuk that therefore the issue of gid on nosha doesn't apply to it in the first place. Reb Shimon holds, Ein Issu Chal Al Issur, but then why doesn't the Issu of Gidan Nosha Chal? Because even though there's no other Issur, because he holds Ein Megidin Noisin Tam, is because the Pasuk specifically excludes it. That's as far as Reb Yehuda. And on the other hand, we said that's as far as Reb Shimon. As far as Reb Yehuda, we said that he holds that Issu, that ordinarily an Issu might not be Chal on another Issu, but where it's an Issu Chomer, then it would. And in this case, it's an Issu Chomer because it applies to Bnei Noach according to him as well. As far as the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, there's two ways of explaining what the Tanakhama holds. Does he also hold Ein Begidin Menos in Tam? Now, Rashi had mentioned in the Mishnah that there are two ways of explaining the Tanakhama's opinion that said that it applies only to a Tahora and not a Tmeya. If we say Yesh Begidin Menos in Tam, then the Tanakhama would hold that he'd get Malkus because it's part of a Behemoth Tmeya, but not because of Gidan Osha. If you say Ein Begidin Menos in Tam, then he'd be completely Potter, like Reb Shimon says. So what does the Tanakhama hold? There are indeed those two different ways to look at it. Does he hold Ein Megidin Menos in Tam? And therefore, therefore that would mean that that would affect what Rabbi Yehuda means when he replies to the Tanakhama and says it applies to a Behemoth Tmeya because it applied to Bnei Noach. So there's again two different ways of looking at it. You could say because it's an Issu Chomer and it applied even before the Torah was given, and therefore to begin with applies to non-kosher animals as well. Or if the Tanakhama holds Yesh Begin Menos in Tam, meaning that it's part of a Behemoth Tmeya, then Rabbi Yehuda would say that not only that, but another issue can be chal on it because Gidan Nosha is a stronger issue. So we have three different opinions over here: the Tanakhama, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon, and each of them we can say may have a different reason for his din. The Tanakhama may hold Yesh Begin Menos in Tam or Ein Megidin Menos in Tam. His din would work either way. The Tanakhama doesn't specify whether he's Chayav Malkus at all or not. Rabbi Yehuda will say he is Chayav double Malkus, because according to him, Issur Chal al Issur, and the Issur of Gidan Osha being a stronger Issur is able to be Chal on the Issur of Behemoth Tmeya. And Reb Shimon would hold Ein Megidin Menos in Tam, and therefore there's no Issur of Behemoth Tmeya over here. And as far as Gidan Osha, there's no Issur either, because he learns from the Pasuk that it applies only to Behemoth Tahara. Okay. So far we've been talking about non-kosher species of animals. Now let's talk about a kosher species, which is a nevela. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, ha'orichu gidan nosha from nevela. If a person were to eat gidan nosha of a nevela animal, Rav Meir Mechayev Shtayim, then Rav Meir would say that he gets two, that he gets double malchus. Rav Meir again holds yesh begin menos in tam. So therefore, that it's considered eating a piece of a nevela. And then also for the Gidan Osha. Because there's something called Issu Kolol, which we're going to talk about over here. Issu Kolol means when you have an Issu that includes more things in the scope of it. So, for example, over here, the Gidan Osha, when the animal was alive, only the Gidan Osha, if it was also, okay, all of it was alive, all of it was also Ev Menachai, but potentially all of it could have become Mutter if you shechted it, except for the Gidan Osha. But now the animal became Nevela, now the whole thing becomes Osir. So therefore, Nevela is called an Issur Kolol, and Rameo therefore will hold that the Issur of Nevela is able to be Chal on top of the Issur of Gidan Osha, and therefore he's Chayav double Malchus. The Chacham in Chayv Alachas, whereas the Chacham say he's Chayv only one. The Chacham say he's Chayv only one Malkus because of Gidan Noshe. Ah, yes, begin Menois and Tam, but nevertheless, they were going to say that an Isser is not Chal on an Isser. It was already also as Gidan Noshe. It doesn't become more also because it's Nevela. Umodim Chachamim L'Rameir Ba'Eichel Gidan Noshe Shal Oyla V'Shal Shoran Iskel. However, the Chachamim do agree with Rameir that if he eats the Gidan Noshe of an Oyla, which is a stronger Isser, or of Shoran, because in other words, the difference is Nevela is a... So nevela is mutar b'hana, but an oila is actually also b'hana, and it has to be brought as a korban, and the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach, as we learned earlier in this perek. The actual gid anosha itself is not burnt on the mizbeach. We learned earlier in the perek that you extract it, you pull it out of the leg, and then you offer the leg on the mizbeach. But the point is that nerve, that gid anosha being from an oila, is still also b'hana. So when it comes to an oiler, when it comes to a shoran niskal, an animal that has to be killed because it killed somebody or because it was involved in bestiality, where there also it's also b'ana. So therefore, so the chachamim will agree that that's considered a stronger iser shechayev shtayim, and therefore he's going to be chayev double malchus for eating the gidan nosha of that. Because now it's not just an iser oilo, it's also iser chomer, it's also a stronger iser. Koilol in the sense that includes the entire animal, and chomer in the sense that it makes it also b'ana as well. So never mind. In other words, the Chachamim was saying, never mind Isur Chomer as Rabbi Yehuda would have it, because it applied to Bnei Noach. Never mind that. The Chachamim don't hold it applied to Bnei Noach, but they hold it's an Isur Chomer. They would agree it's an Isur Chomer because it's also Bahana as well. Okay. So therefore, so the Chachamim are going to say that in that case, then there is double Malkus. Now, we did touch on the question yesterday whether the Gidan Noshe itself is also Bahana, but here we're saying that the Gidan Noshe apparently itself is mutter Bahana. But now, in other words, so that's the thing. Rashi explains the Gidan Noshe you weren't allowed to eat, but now you made it an Oila. Now you have. In other words, we would say that the first Isser that comes there is the Isser of Hana. So now you have Isur Kurl and you have Isur Kurl and Isur Chomer. He's going to be Chayah for both. Rashi, by the way, points out that you also have something else called over here, Isur Moisif. Isur Moisif is when you have another dimension of Isur, where before, for example, something was mutter Bahana, now it's also Bahana. So now what happens is, in other words, Rashi explains when it was made into an Ola, then it becomes Osir for a Hediot, and now when it becomes a Nevela, then it's also Osir to offer on the Mizbeach. So now that should also apply. But in fact, Tosfos points out, we learned earlier in the Perek, that the Gidan Noshe is in fact Osir to bring as a Korban as well. We said you have to extract it from the leg and only then offer the leg. So therefore, we can't really call it that at one point it was Mutter the Gavoya, and now because it became a Nevela, it became also the Gavoya. Not so. The Gidan Osher was always also the Gavoya. It was always also to bring on the Mizbeach in the first place, or to offer on the Mizbeach rather. We said you bring it up to the Mizbeach and then you extract, because you don't want to bring up a cut up leg. It wouldn't look nice. But then you cut it up on top of the Mizbeach and you remove the Gidan Osher. Okay. So the Gemara asks, to man tan, o man hai tana, well then which tana do we actually find to be isur kolol, isur chalal, isur leslay, that when it comes to an isur kolol, where it includes more things than before, like for example here it was just the gidan nosha, and now it's spread to include the entire animal, he would hold that if that, then we don't say that one isur is chal on another. As the Chachamim are saying in this Braisa over here, Ein Chayiv Ala Achas, that when it comes to a Nevela, the fact that it's a Nevela and the whole animal is Osir is not a reason for the Isur of Nevela to be Chal on top of the Isur of Gidan Noshan, for him to be Chayiv double Malkus. And yet this same Tana holds Isur Kolol be Isur Chomer Islay, but they would hold that when it comes to an Isur Kolol, where the Isur Kolol is also an Isur Chomer, where it's also a stronger Isur in that, what we elsewhere call Isur Moisif, for example, where now it's also Bahana as well, Islay, that he would hold that in fact it is Chal. So By the way, I mean, Rashi over here mentions the fact that it's an Isser Anah is also called an Isser Moisif. On the other hand, there are, on the other hand, Tosfos and various other Rishonim have trouble with that, and they explain that Isser Chomer and Isser Moisif are not necessarily the same thing. Be that as it may, the point is, we seem to have a Tana over here who holds, we're not necessarily going to say that an Isser Moisif, that an Isser Moisif works, but they will say that an Isser Kolo goes on top of a previous Isser, just because it includes more things in its scope is not a reason for that Isser to be in effect. But when it's stricter, for example, an Isser Hana, then they're going to say that it does apply. So which Tana would say such a thing? When we're saying the Chachamim over here, specifically, which Tana do we find holds like that? And the answer is Rabbi Yosef Omar Rava Rabbi Yosef Agrivi. The answer is that would specifically be the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Agrivi. So in other words, when we say in this Braisa that the Chachamim hold he's chayiv only one, but then the same Chachamim agree that if it's for an Ola or a Shor Niskel he's chayiv two, that would be the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Agrivi specifically. Ditznan. Namely, we learn in a Mishnah in Zvachim. We know that there's an Isser of eating Kodshim Bituma. And that Isser has two parts to it. You're not allowed to eat Kodshim that themselves are Tomei, even if you are Tahor. And you're also not allowed to eat Kodshim, which are Tahor, when you yourself are Tomei. Now, the difference is, a Tomei who eats Kodshim is a Tomei who eats Kodshim is Chayiv Koris. A person who eats kodshim, not a tomei, where he himself is tahor, is not chayev kodes. He's only chayev malchus. So now, d'tnan, we learn in a mishnah in zvachim, tomei she'ochol kodesh. If a person, now what happens if he does it b'shogeg? We know a general rule that a person does something b'mezid, he's chayev kodes. Then if he does the same action b'shogeg, generally speaking, he's chayev achatos. We'll learn next year, masechta krisis. And we'll talk about the rules in that. But the basic rule is, when a person is chayiv some kodesh for something b'mezid, this was also in Nambam, Mishlosha Prokim, a day or two ago, then he's chayiv achatas b'shogeg. So now, tomei she'ochol kodesh, so now the Mishnah says, if a person who was tomei ate kodeshim, ben kodesh tomei ben kodesh tahor, whether those kodeshim were tomei or whether they were tahor, chayiv, then he's going to be chayev to bring. A chatas. To be exact, this is not going to be a regular chatas. To be exact, this is going to be a korban ola b'yored, where the chatas varies. It varies according to what he can afford. A sheep, if he can afford it. Two birds for an ola and a chatas. If he's poorer than that, and if he's really poor, then he brings a mincha. So then he would be chayev. Rabbi Yosef really says it depends. Tomei she'ochol tahor chayev. If he was tomei and he ate tahor kodshim, then he's going to be chayev achatas. Tomei she'ochol tahor potur. But he says that if he was a tomei and the meat of kodshim that he ate was also tomei potur, then he's going to be potur from achatas. He's over on an Isser Kodesh, Shaloi Ochal, on Dabba Tomei, because he ate something which was anyway Tomei. So there's no Kodesh, and therefore, B'shogeg, there's no Chathas. Now, Omruloi, the Chachamim say to Rabbi Yosef Agrivi, wait a minute, what do you mean? That if he eats the food when it's Tomei, then he's not going to be Chayim. Ask Tomei, Shaochal, Tahor. So consider, if he's Tomei, and he ate Tahor, and he ate the food when it was Tahor, Kibin Shinoga by Timohu, as it is when he touched it, he made it Tomei. So anyway, the Torah makes it clear that he's Chayim Achatas in that case. So what are you telling me? That if the food was tomei beforehand, then it should be potter from achatos. Why? No matter what, when he eats it, it's always going to be tomei, and nevertheless the Torah is machayev and achatos, so you have no reason to distinguish between whether it was tomei beforehand or whether it's tomei now. In other words, the Chachamim understood Rabbi Yosef Agrivi to be saying that it's only a problem if he's metame it. The Chachamim say one way or the other he's metameic. Either it was Tomei beforehand, or the Chachamim say, if you're going to say it means Chayev Achatas only when he was metameic, what's the difference? Right now he's metameic as well when he eats it. Now, Tosfos points out, of course, an obvious counter argument. could be that that let's say somebody put it on a stick and stuck it down his throat, so he never touched it. But Tosfos says the Chachamim knew that's not the case. That Rabbi Yossi would say he's potter in all cases. So we have to ask Shaper Kami that I'm on Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The Chachamim seem to have a good argument on Rabbi Yossi Aglili. What is he going to say to that? And the answer is V'omar Rava. So Rava explains in that relevant Gemara in Zochim, the nitma guf v'achav nitma baser. If the person became tamei and then the meat became tamei, and for this purpose it doesn't matter whether it was tamei before, whether he touched it and now made it tamei, kol amalek pligi d'chayev. Then there's going to be no argument. Everybody's going to agree that he's chayev for kores v'mezen and achatas v'shoegig. The issur kores kodim, because the issur of kores came first. Once the person becomes tamei, for him to eat any kodshim would make him chayev kores. So now, if he was tamei beforehand and the meat was still tahor until now, then it doesn't matter. So in other words, we could be talking about, for example, where he became tamei at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then at that point the meat was still tamei, and then the meat became tamei at 10 o'clock, and then he ate it at 11 o'clock. Or we could be talking about he became tamei at 9 o'clock, and then at 10 o'clock he picked up a tahor piece and ate it. Either way, he was tamei before it became tamei. So then there's no question the issue of Kores Kodim, the issue of Kores came first, and therefore there's no question that he's going to be Chayiv Kores, and that issue is not going to go away, and therefore if he does it B'Shoigig, then he's going to be Chayiv Achatos. Kiitli, the Machloikos would be B'Nitma Basa B'Achachach Nitma Haguf. With meat became Tomei, and then he became Tomei. So the meat became Tomei at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then he became Tomei became Tomei at 10 o'clock. So now the issur of eating Tomei Kodshim came first. So now that's where you're going to have the machlokas of Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the Chachamim. So Rabbanon Islahu Issur Kolo. So now the Chachamim hold of the concept of Issu Kolo. They hold that you can have that one Issu can be chal on another one where it's more all encompassing. And they're going to hold the Migud Mechayiv HaTichas Tahoris Da'alma, given that now the person became Tomei, and now that means that he's not only is he also to eat this one korban that became Tomei, he's also to eat any korban. Mechayiv Nami HaTichas Tmeya. Therefore, the Chachamim say you can also be Mechayiv him an extra Isser for eating this one that's Tomei. Before when it first became Tomei, he was still Tahor, and at that point, if he ate it, he would have been over only on a lav. But the Chachamim say, now that you have an Issur Kolel, he became Tomei, and now is also to eat any Kodshim, so Mechayiv Nami Achaticha Tmeya, therefore the Chachamim hold he can be Chayiv Kores for this one piece that's Tomei as well. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, less the Issur Kolel, the Migur Le'Aminan. Rabbi Yossi Aglili disagrees with the concept of Issur Kolel, and he holds, we don't hold this concept of Migur, so he says just because he's Chayav for eating other pieces when now that he's Tomei, that doesn't mean that for this one, where there was already a pre-existing Issur of eating Tomei Kodshim, that therefore he should now the Issur of Kores or Chatas should come on him as well. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says not so. So in other words, like this, the Chachamim understood Rabbi Yossi Aglili to be saying the problem is that the problem seems to be that you're not allowed to eat kodshim where you're the matame then, and the Chachamim argue either way you're matame. Now we're saying that no, that's not what Rabbi Yossi Aglili meant in the first place. Rabbi Yossi Aglili is talking about whether it was tomei beforehand or whether it became tomei only afterwards. So we see Rabbi Yossi Aglili will say that even when the second Issur is an Issur Chomer, you see over here that the second Issur is an Issur Kares, then he's going to say that it won't work. So he's going to say that even when it's an Issur Kolo, it's not going to. Not because it's an Issur Kolo, he says it's not enough. It needs to also be Issur Chomer. For example, it would have to be also Bahanah versus just also Bahachila, and here you don't have that. So therefore, earlier when we said that the Chachamim disagreed with Reb Meir and said that a person eats Gira Nosha of Nevela, he's Chayiv only one, but if it was Oilo or Shoran Niskel, then he'd be Chayiv two two Malkus, that would be according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, because Rabbi Yossi Haglili would say, where it was a Nevela, then you only have two Isurim, one of both of them are Lavin. Gid Anosha is a Lav and Nevela is a Lav. Therefore, one is not going to be Chal on top of the other. The Gid Anosha was already Osir when the animal was alive, and therefore the fact that it died without Shchita is not going to be a reason to say that that he should be Chayav also for Nevela. Whereas Reb Meir would say that in fact he is chayev because isur chalal isur. Now on the other hand, we said the Chachamim agree with Reb Meir when it comes to an oil or a shor niskel, and the reason is because there it's not just isur kolol, there it's also isur chomer, because there you have a stronger isur in the fact that it makes them also bahana as well. So therefore, so Reb Yossi Haglili will in fact, we see that Rabbi Yossi Haglili holds that there are limitations when we're going to say, when we're going to say Isu Chalal Isu and when not. Well, the problem with that is, Rabbi Yossi Haglili, Nihidi Isu Kolo, less like the Isu Kal. Fine, we can see that Rabbi Yossi Haglili maybe holds that Isu Kolo does not work when the second Isu is just as lenient as the original one. So like, for example, with Nevela and Gid Anosha, both of them are Lavin. But you can ask, Yovi Isu Chomer, Yocholal Isu Kal. But we just said before that Rabbi Yossi Haglili holds that an Isu Chomer, that a stronger Isur, is able to be Chal on top of a more lenient Isur. Umay Niu Tumas Aguf, namely the case where the person himself is Tavei Shara Tumas Aguf Bekores, where there you actually have Kores involved. So even if you're going to say he doesn't hold of Isur Kolo, but shouldn't he at least hold of Isur Chomer, and say that that's Chal as well? So why indeed are we saying so why according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili are we saying that the Tomei who ate Kodshim that previously were Tomei before he became Tomei is not going to be Chayev Achatos? Why not? It is Isur Kolol, but it's also Isur Chomer, and therefore it should apply. On the assumption that the truma of the person himself, which makes him chayav kares, is stronger. There's a stronger kind of issue than the issue of truma of the meat of the korban, which is only a lav. Now Rashi in this connection brings up a point that Reb Shimon, we said before, Reb Shimon also doesn't hold of Isur Kolo. So why couldn't we say that the Chachamim of the Braisa earlier going against the mayor? Why couldn't we say that's Reb Shimon? So that comes up in this case where a person ate on Yom Kippur ate an animal that was Nevela before Yom Kippur, then Reb Shimon holds he's only chayav for Nevela, not for Yom Kippur, even though Yom Kippur is an Isur Kolo, because everything is also to eat. So why can't we say then that in the same vein, Reb Shimon would say that the Gid Anosha was also before, and therefore the Isur of Nevela is not chal on it? And the answer is because Yom Kippur is also more chomer because there's kores. Now again, we just said before that where it's an isur chomer, the chachamim against Reb Meir are going to agree that the second isur is chal. Therefore, we can't say that's according to Reb Shimon, because according to Reb Shimon, he would always say even when there's an isur kolol that's also an isur chomer, then it's still not going to be chal. According to him, a person eats nevela, which was nevela before Yom Kippur, and he eats it on Yom Kippur itself, where Yom Kippur is there's kores involved in eating on Yom Kippur, and it applies more broadly because it applies to all foods, and nevertheless, Reb Shimon holds it's not chal, and he's chayav only on the grounds of eating nevela. Therefore, Rashi says it can't be that the chachamim of the brayso before would be Reb Shimon. Necessarily, we have to say it's Reb Yossi Haglili. So fine, that explains then the case before about the Gid Anosha of the Nevela versus the Oila and the Shor HaNiskel, but it doesn't explain why in this last case that we just explained over here, where a Tomei person eats Kodshim that previously were Tomei, and Rabbi Yossi Haglili is saying that he's not Chayav Achatas for doing that B'Shogeg, because he doesn't hold of Isur Moisif, even when it's an Isur Kolo, but the question is, why not? It's an Isur Kolo, but it's also an Isur Chomer, and we just said before that Rabbi Yossi Haglili holds an Isur Chomer should be Chal. So how do we understand Rabbi Yossi Haglili? And the answer is Amar Rav Ashi, because Rav Ashi says Man Leimel under Tumas Aguf Chamara. Who says that the fact that the person himself is Tomei is considered a more serious Isser? Granted, yes, it makes him Chayav Kares, but you could argue in a different way, says Rav Ashi. Duma Tumas Basar Chamara. You could argue that the Tumah of the meat is considered more Chamar. The less Leitad of a Mikveh, because you can't make the meat Tahar by dipping it in a Mikveh, as opposed to a person himself who became Tomei. can dip in a mikveh. So therefore you could say, in effect, each one of the Isurim is equal in a way to the other one. Each one has a kula and a chumra over the other one. The issur of him being tomei makes him chayiv kares when he eats kodshim. On the other hand, the issur of the meat being tomei is more chumra in the sense you can't undo that issur. You can't make the meat tahor again. So you could well say that Rabbi Yitzchak Levi is going to say in a case like that, then you can't say that either one of them is more chumra than the other, and therefore he's going to apply his rule of when there's no chumra in one over the other, then he's not going to say that a second issur is going to apply even though it's issur Kolol, because he doesn't hold of that. But now everything will work out nicely according to Rabbi Yosef Levi so far. So we're going to say again, he holds that an Isser cannot be Chal on an Isser unless it's both Kolol and Chomer, which again, according to Rashi, the definition of Chomer is Moisif, that it adds a new dimension of Isser, and according to some other Rishonim, not necessarily. So we can say, in the case of the Gidan Nosha, you have an original Isser of the Gidan Nosha, even while the animal was alive, then it died and the whole thing became Isser. But both Isurim, Gidan Nosha and Nevela, are the same degree of Isser. They're both alive, they're both Chayiv Malkus, and therefore Rabbi Yosef Levi says one is not stronger than the other, and the second one is not going to be Chal. When it comes to an Ola or a Shor HaNiskol, there you have, it's also Isur Chomer, because now you have an Isur Hana on the animal as well, therefore Rabbi Yosef Levi says it will apply. When it comes to the meat of Kodshim that became Tomei, and then the person became Tomei, also Rabbi Yosef Levi is going to hold, he's not Chayiv Achatas when he did it B'Shogeg, because you have one Isur on top of the other, but the second Isur is not necessarily any more stringent than the first one, even though it is kolol, because before he was also only to eat this piece, and now he's also to eat all kodshim, but it's not necessarily any more chomer, because again, there's a chomra in each side of the person being tomei versus the meat being tomei, and therefore you can't really say that one is stronger than the other. Okay, so far so good. But now the question becomes, Rabbi Yosef Levi lefle isur kolol? You're telling me, though, that Rabbi Yosef Levi does not hold of the concept of isur kolol? That he doesn't hold that an Isser can be Chal on top of another Isser unless in these particular examples. I'll show you that Rabbi Yosef Levi does hold more generally of Isser Kolol. So Valtani, we learned in a Braisa, Shabbos v'Yom Kippurim, suppose that Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos, Shogeg v'Osa Malacha, now suppose a person did a Malacha b'Shogeg, now if a person does Malacha b'Shogeg on Shabbos, he's Chayiv Chatas, and if he does Malacha on Yom Kippur, b'Shogeg is also Chayiv Chatas. So how many Chatos is he Chayiv? So how do we know, says the Tanakama of this Braisa, that he's going to be chayav a separate chatas for each one for violating Shabbos and one for violating Yom Kippur? This is Rabbi Yosef Levi. He says he's going to be chayav for each one individually because the pasuk specifically says it is Shabbos and you shouldn't do malacha, and it is Yom Kippur and you shouldn't do malacha, and therefore that means each one. Basically, by saying he, it means each one still has its own independence. Each one has its own shame, its own name of chiyuv. So therefore he's going to be chayiv for both.
This is not the halacha, right?
Well, we're going to get to soon whether this is the halacha. Usually we're going to have Rabbi Akiva against him. Usually the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva against another Tana, but wait, we'll get to that point soon. But briefly. We're in the middle of discussing what the two opinions on the subject of whether we have Rabbi Yosef Levi, who says that he's going to be chayav double, that he's going to be chayav two chatos, and we're going to have Rabbi Yosef Levi. That's Rabbi Yosef Levi, and then we're going to have. And then we're going to have Rabbi Akiva, who says he's chayav only one, as the Gemara is going to work out why each of them holds the way he does. Now the halacha is in fact that yes, you do have a concept called Shnei Isurim, which we're going to call Bevas Achas. We're going to talk about that now in the Gemara. Sometimes you have a case where you have two Isurim where both of them come at the same moment. Here, Shabbos and Yom Kippur both start at the same moment. As soon as he's Chayiv for Shabbos, he's Chayiv for Yom Kippur, and vice versa. So therefore we have a reason to say that yes, in fact, it should apply.
B'shogeg Shabbos is chayav
chatos. Chayav chatos, yeah.
Yeah. According to Rabbi Akiva also.
According to everybody, if a person is shredding in Shabbos, he's chayav achatas. So there's no question about that. The general rule is anything for which a person reads chayav kodesh b'nezid, then he brings a chatas for shogeg, with certain rare exceptions, which we'll learn about in Masechta Krisus, Bez Hashem, and Shabbos is one of them. A person is chayav skila if he violates Shabbos and his eidim v'asra. But if it was b'mezid and there's no eidim v'asra, then he gets kodesh. Therefore, if he does it b'shogeg, he's chayav achatas. That principle everybody agrees to. The machloikas over here is if Shabbos and Yom Kippur are on the same day. So now, if he does a malacha, and he didn't know it was Shabbos, and he didn't know it was Yom Kippur, because he chayev one chatas or two, Rabbi Yosef Levi says he's chayev two chatars, because he broke two different things that are chayev karis. And again, it comes out, therefore, Rabbi Yosef Levi does hold of Issur Koilel, which is going to be the question over here. So Rabbi Yosef Levi says that he's going to be chayev on each one individually. And Rashi explains again, because since it says Shabbos he and Yom Kippurim he, that implies that each one, even if there's another issue with it, he's still going to be chayav for violating that one by itself. Now Rashi points out that as we're going to go through in the Gemara over here, this is an example of issur basachas, because again, the two things, he becomes chayav in both of them at the same moment. But now the question though is going to be if Rabbi Yosef really holds issur kolo or issur moisif, that it can be chal on top of another issur. Well, therefore he can say over here that also. That after all, you could say Shabbos relative to Yom Kippur is an Isur Moisif, because now you have Yom Kippur is Kodesh, Shabbos is Misath Beis Din, which is considered a stronger Isur. Therefore you can say that when it comes and on the other hand Yom Kippur is more all encompassing than Shabbos, because you're not allowed to eat on it. So therefore, some malacha would also be Osir. So each one has an advantage over the other. But if you tell me, so if he holds that Issur Kol and Issur Moisif can be Chal, then you can say that Issur Basachas can also be Chal, because each of them has a stringency over the other. But if you tell me that Rabbi Yosef Levi does not even hold of Issur Kol by itself, unless it's also has a Humra and no Kula compared to the other one, then why would he hold that both of them are Chal over here and that he should be Chayav, and that he should be Chayav two Chatois? Rashi also brings further along. Rashi says there was an explanation that Shabbos can be considered coming earlier than Yom Kippur, because Shabbos exists every week. Shabbos kviya v'kaima, you always have every 7 days is Shabbos, as opposed to Yom Kippur, where Beis Din has to determine that it's Yom Kippur. But then Rashi doesn't like that, because it doesn't work out with the continuation of the Gemara. So no, we have to say that we're actually considering it Issur Basachas. We're actually considering it that the two Issurim do come at the same time. Tosfos further says it's not Issur Basachas. Tosfos does defend that explanation that Shabbos is considered to come first. In any case, the point is, Rabbi Yosef Levi is saying that in this case, he would be chayav two chatos, because each issur stands by itself. Rabbi Akiva is chayav al achas, and Rabbi Akiva says, on the other hand, he's chayav only one, because Rabbi Akiva holds that one issur is not chal on another, even when it's a stronger issur or whatever. Tosfos discusses that maybe over here the Torah specifically says Shabbos he and Kippurim he, therefore Rabbi Yosef really would have a reason to say this din over here. How do we know that it would apply to other cases? And the question is, why don't we use this as binyan av for other places? And Tosfos discusses that point. In any case, so Rabbi Akiva says that he's chayav only one. Here also Tosfos says that if it was an Issur Basachas, then Rabbi Akiva ought to say that both of them apply. So maybe Rabbi Akiva holds Issur Chal, Issur only by Kodshim, and here we're not talking about Kodshim, and so forth. In any case, so now that's the question. Rabbi Yosef Levi evidently holds that one Issur can be Chal on another Issur, even when it's not an Issur Chomer. Because each one has a chumra over the other one. So we see it's not that it has to be koil and chumra. So how do we understand that? So the answer is shalach Rovin mishum de Rabbi Yosi Rav Chanina. So Rovin sent a message in the name of Rabbi Yosi Rav Chanina. Both of Rabbi Yosi Rav Chanina was one of the top chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. Rovin was one of the chachamim who would travel regularly back and forth between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael to tell them what they learned in Eretz Yisrael. So he sent a message to the chachamim in Bavel who were bothered by this question. He says, you know, sometimes we would say that a braisa has a mistake in it. But over here, he says, kachatzal shal mishnah. The way that we've learned the braisa is correct. But in other words, sometimes a braisa was taught in a certain lashon, and then when the braisa was told over from one person to another, then at some point it got messed up along the way. Here, Rovin wants you to know this is indeed how the braisa was originally taught, but you should know, there's something wrong in the original presentation of the braisa. The epoch, you have to actually flip around the opinions and say that Rabbi Akiva would be the one who says that he needs two chatois, and Rabbi Yosi Haglili would say only one. So there's the answer, that Rabbi Yitzhak Lili, in fact, in the end, is saying that you could only be chayav one chatas. Why? Because indeed, as Rava had said, he's mechayav two, only when the second one is not only an issur kolo, but also an issur chomer, which we don't have here by Shabbos in Yom Kippur. Now Rashi points out that the Gemara could have also answered that Rabbi Yosi Haglili would say there's a difference when it's bas achas, but nevertheless, Rashi explains that no, because Rashi explains based on a Gemara and Yevamos that no, anybody who holds of Issur Kolo is not going to hold that it works for bas achas either. So we have no choice but to say that the original braisa, as it was originally taught, was mistaken, and in fact whoever first formulated this braisa got the opinions backwards, Rabbi Yosi Haglili and the Chachamim. Okay, so then that neatly answers the question. Well, the Gemara says, Shalach Rabbi Yitzchok bar Yaakov bar Giyuri Mishum de Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yitzchok bar Yaakov bar Giyuri sent another message in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, explaining, now that we said that the opinions have to be reversed in the Braisa, so now you should know, L'divir Rabbi Yosi Haglili, L'mai da'apchan, according to a corollary, a consequence of Rabbi Yosi Haglili's opinion, as we've now flipped it around, which is that he says that a person would be chayv only one chatas in this case, when Shabbos came out on Yom Kippur. So then we would have to say shogeg b'shabbos v'hizid b'yom kippurim. So now we were talking about where he was shogeg on both of them. He didn't know it was Shabbos and he didn't know it was Yom Kippur. Or he knew that it were, he didn't know that this was a malacha, whatever. But now we could talk about what if he was shogeg on one of them and mazed on the other. Shogeg with Shabbos v'hizid b'yom kippurim. So now, if he would have been shogeg as far as Shabbos, he didn't know it was Shabbos, but v'hizid b'yom kippurim, but he knew that it was Yom Kippur and did the malacha anyway. Chayev, then he's going to be chayev a chatos for Shabbos because of the shogeg of Shabbos. On the other hand, hizid b'shabbos for shogeg b'yom kippurim, but if he was mazed as far as Shabbos and he was shogeg as far as Yom Kippur, he knew that today. Well, he didn't know, he knew that it was Shabbos and did the malacha anyway, but he didn't know it was Yom Kippur. Then, according to Rabbi Yosi Haglili's revised opinion, potter, then he would be potter from a, then he would be potter from a chatas. Because, as the Gemara is going to explain. Rabbi Yosi Haglili would say that the, So in other words, Rabbi Yochanan is explaining Rabbi Yosi Haglili to be saying that it depends with that Rabbi Yosi Haglili is going to say he's chayv only one, and in some cases he might actually be chayv zero. My timer, why is that? Abaya says because the logic we just said as far as the difference between how Shabbos and Yom Kippur are first established. Shabbos. Kviya v'kaima, Shabbos already pre-exists, ever since Sheshus and Ebereshus, every seventh day is Shabbos. Yom Kippurim, Beidin, Hu D'Kalkavila, as opposed to Yom Kippur, is established by Beis Din, and they have to decide when Rosh Chodesh is, and therefore, we can, in effect, we can say, like that explanation that Rashi said, that Rashi had said and rejected an explanation, that Shabbos is considered to be the issue that came first, because it comes since Sheshus and Ebereshus, as opposed to Yom Kippur, is decided every year by Beis Din. Rashi hadn't liked that explanation earlier in the Sugya, but now, in effect, we're saying that Rabbi Yochanan in fact holds that way. That Rabbi Yochanan is going to consider that when Rabbi Yosi Haglili says he's chayav a chatas, it's when he said he's chayav one chatas, doesn't mean for both of them. He's chayav one chatas for Shabbos, and therefore, if he knew that it was Shabbos and there's never a chatas for Mamezid, then he would be potter altogether. Because you don't bring a korban for Mamezid, and the fact that it was Yom Kippur is not chal on top of Shabbos because that comes later. But Rava says, what are you talking about? The fact is, both Yom Kippur and Shabbos begin at the same moment. So what do you mean? One is considered to be earlier. One is considered earlier than the other. The fact is that both of them start at the same time. So that doesn't work. So that doesn't seem to work as an explanation to understand the coins of Rabbi Yosef Levi. Ella, Omar Rava. So Rava says, you know why that message was sent in the name of Rabbi Yochanan? It was actually not in order to clarify what Rabbi Yosef Levi would say. Actually, it never even began with the words, according to Rabbi Yosef Levi's revised opinion. Later on, when the Chachamim were learning the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, they mistakenly attributed it to, as it was meant to be an explanation of Rabbi Yosef Levi. But actually, what Rava says is Shmada Hava. What happened was, there was a Shmad. There was a time when the Goyim were making Xeris against the Jewish people keeping mitzvahs, as unfortunately we know, happened many times during history. In Rabbi Yochanan's times, the Romans ruled over Eretz Yisrael, and there were various times when they harassed the Jews and tried to prevent them from doing mitzvahs. So what happened was, the Chachamim had made a Xerah against making Yom Kippur. They had to send a coded message to Babel, Shochem Itam. So the Chacham of Eretz Yisrael sent a message to the Jews in Babel, the Yom Kippur, the Hoshata Shabzahu, that Yom Kippur of this year should be kept on Shabbos. In other words, what happened was that year the Goyim had made a gzera that the Jews cannot keep Yom Kippur. Now the Chachamim therefore didn't want, so therefore they weren't able to keep Yom Kippur that year. They didn't want Yom Kippur to be forgotten altogether. So they sent a message, symbolically, this year, you should keep Yom Kippur on Shabbos. Because that way the Goyim won't catch on, because as it is, every Shabbos, they know the Jews don't do work. So now, this particular year, when in fact it was Shabbos and it was not truly Yom Kippur, they were only doing it as a Zecher of Yom Kippur, then that was when Rabbi Yitzchak, so now Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yaakov, Bar Giuri's message in the name of Rabbi Yochanan is not telling us in a general case. It's telling us about that unique case that he sends a coded message that there's a difference between Shogeg B'Shabbos V'Hizid B'Yom Kippurim, whether he was Shogeg on Shabbos and Mazid on Yom Kippur or vice versa. He wants you to know that in this case, had the person done malacha b'mezid on Shabbos in such a case, he would be potter because it's not Yom Kippur and he wasn't b'shogeg because it was only Shabbos and he was mezid on Shabbos. So by sending that coded message, they were telling the Chachamim of Babel, they expected the Chachamim of Babel to be able to decode the message and realize that this year we don't have a regular Yom Kippur, we have instead a symbolic Yom Kippur on Shabbos. But later on, in a later generation, when the Chachamim knew that at one point there had been such a message from Eretz Yisrael, they misunderstood and thought that it referred to the Machloikos of Rabbi Yosef Levi and Rabbi Akiva. Still though, what's going on over here? I mean, you have a couple of questions about that. First of all, I mean, what happened to Yehoreg Val Yadra? If the Goyim are making Xeris to try and cancel out Yiddishkeit altogether, then you have to go on Mesiras Nefesh for anything. So a lot of Rishonim explain, not like Rashi, that they were actually making Gzeira against Yom Kippur specifically, but rather it's they made Gzeira against the Chachamim being the Kaddish, the Chodesh. Now, first of all, Tosfos points out that you have a concept, Atma Filo Mezidim, that even if Beis Din deliberately alters the dates of the Yom Tovim, nevertheless, we still have to follow them. But here, the fact is, you have to go according to the Kviyas HaChodesh, and here the Chachamim were saying we can't keep Yom Kippur this year on the 10th. So they couldn't say it beferish, and therefore it wasn't truly Yom Kippur. But there are a number of Rishonim who explain that the Gzeira was not so much that they shouldn't keep Yom Kippur. The Gzeira was rather that they shouldn't be Mekadosh the Chodesh. Now, the Ritva explains, Mekadosh the Chodesh is an Eseh, it's a Mitzvah Saseh, but he learns that when we learn that you have to be Moser Nefesh on any Mitzvah, either you have to be Moser Nefesh on any mitzvah. In the time of Shmad, the Ritva learns that would not apply to mitzvah saseh. He learns that applies only to mitzvah lois saseh, which there's quite a bit of discussion about that.
Why was this Gzera?
Well, the Gzera would have been in Eretz Yisrael. At that time, remember, each month, they didn't have a fixed calendar like we have nowadays. They had the calendar each month. The Beis Din would have to accept, would have to have Edim come and testify, and then they would declare, today, this day is Rosh Chodesh. So now, that year, then many Rishonim learn that the vote was that the Romans prevented them from being Mekadosh L'Chodesh. So now, the Ritva is saying they weren't obligated to be Moser Nefesh on that because it's only a Mitzvah Saseh, and a Mitzvah Saseh is not Yehoreg Val Yadra. So, in effect, there was no Yom Kippur that year in the sense that Yom Kippur requires the Kviyos of Beis Din, like we said before. If Beis Din was not Mekadosh the Chodesh for whatever reason, then we would say in effect there was no Yom Kippur that year. So therefore, they sent a coded message to Bavel to tell them that this year there's not going to be able to be a Yom Kippur because we weren't able to be Mekadosh it. Nevertheless, keep Yom Kippur symbolically on Shabbos so you don't forget about the concept of Yom Kippur. So again, they sent it as this coded message of Shagli with Shabbos, Hizib Yom Kippurim, and then in a later generation, the Chachamim forgot what the circumstances were, but they knew that this message had been sent, and they mistakenly attributed it to the opinion of Rabbi Yisrael Levi. This is what Rava explains, that's why. In fact, it wouldn't work according to Rabbi Yisrael Levi, because the fact is, it is Isur Basachas, and it should be both Michal, but it was rather they had sent this message to as a coded message to Bavel, this year there's not going to be a regular Yom Kippur.
When Eretz Yisrael is occupied by Goyim, isn't the Aracha allowing the Kiddush of the Chodesh in another place, like Bavel?
Yes, sort of. What you have is, if there are no great Chachamim of the caliber of the ones in Eretz Yisrael, if there are Chachamim of greater caliber in Bavel or anywhere else, then they can be Mekadosh the Chodesh. Yes, we have examples of that here and there in Shas. Here, the great Chachamim were, in fact, in Eretz Yisrael. They were just being prevented. But also, it's also possible, and Dodos HaRishonim, a sefer on Jewish history, explains this in some detail. Apparently what happened was this time, in other times, they knew that a Gzeder like that was in the offing, so yeah, they could send people ahead of time to be Mekadosh the Chodesh someplace else. But here, apparently, the Gzeder caught them by surprise, and they had no time to do anything mm-hmm. about it except to send this coded message.
They couldn't Mekadosh the Chodesh b'sefer, hiddenly.
Well, maybe they could, but even if they did, they still have to also inform everybody of it. In fact, actually, some of the Rishonim explain, rather, that that's the point. It's not so much that they couldn't be Mekadosh the Chodesh, it's that they were being prevented from publicizing that they had been Mekadosh the Chodesh. There are very various mm-hmm. opinions what exactly happened over here, but the point is, one way or the other, there was some kind of interference. That kind of thing, over time, that interference got worse and worse, which is why eventually the Chachamim realized they have to set up a fixed calendar, because otherwise the whole thing is going to fall apart. But this was in the times of Rabbi Yochanan. So the fixed calendar, as we know it, was established by Hillel HaNasi a couple of generations later. This is in the times of Rabbi Yochanan, so some 80 to 100 years earlier. And apparently, at that one time, you had this interference. Was that enough where that year they weren't able to be Mekadosh the Chodesh? But ordinarily, I guess on a regular basis, either they were able to, or either they were able to revert to Xavis, or they were... Or at least they were able to know far enough in advance to be able to make other arrangements, and here they were caught by surprise and they weren't able to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, V'chein, ki also Ravin v'chol nechol. See, in fact, when Ravin and all the other Chachamim who used to travel back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, when all of them came to Bavel, Amrua k'Rava, they explained, like Rava did, they remembered the historical circumstances from years ago when this had happened, and they were able to report to the Chachamim in Bavel that Rava was correct, he reconstructed the events correctly, and this is in fact what happened. This expression that Ravin and all the Nechusi came is an interesting expression in itself. Usually you have all over Shas, you have usually Rav Dimi would come first, later on Ravin would come after him, and sometimes other Chachamim as well. Here you have all of a sudden Ravin and all the Nechusi are coming. Which Dodos HaRishonim explains, again, there came a point when the persecutions in Eretz Yisrael from the Romans, especially this is around the time, Rava's times is around the times when the Roman Empire turned Christian, and then really bad Xerus began against the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. So now at this point, the Ravin and all the Nechusi came to Bavel in the sense like now they have there's no purpose in traveling back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. They realize the Yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael have not got long to last the way things are going, and therefore they might as well come to Bavel and learn Torah more peacefully over there. In fact, the Rambam points out in a different context, earlier in our Masechta, we had an example where one time we learned in the third parak on Daf Mem Vav, we had where an army, a detachment of the army came to came to Pumbedisa, and Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef had to run away, and then on the way, Rabbi Zeira met up with them and taught them a halacha. So therefore, the Rambam points out there were periods in Bavel when things were pretty bad, when you have things like that with marauding armies or whatever, and in those times, the learning in Eretz Yisrael was on a much higher level. But eventually, the Chachamim in Bavel caught up to and even surpassed the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, partly because of the tremendous Gzeiras in Eretz Yisrael, and at that point, things became much better in Bavel, and they had much, much greater Tamar Chacham, and eventually this is how the Gemara Bavli became the mainstream thing that we learn, the mainstream understanding of the Mishnah that we learn, and the Yerushalmi was much less so because the quality of learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael went down partly because of this, in large measure because of this, because of the Gzeiras, and because of the fact that many of the great Chachamim fled to Bavel.
When was this? The yeshivas in Bavel became greater than, you know.
So primarily, we're talking about after the time of Rabbi Yochanan, or to some extent after the time of Rabbi Yochanan's immediate successors. Rabbi Yochanan himself, Rabbi Shmuel Goyen writes in his letter that Rabbi Yochanan passed away. In the standard versions of Rav Shmuel Goyen's Igeres, where he tells us a lot of information about Jewish history, is that Rav Yochanan passed away in the year 4039, which corresponds to 279 on the secular calendar. Dorda Sotoshonin brings various proofs that actually the date is a little bit off, and it should be a few years later. Whatever, it was in the late 3rd century that Rabbi Yochanan passed away. After that, you have an immediate successors. Eventually, in the early 4th century, in the 320s, is when the Roman Empire started turning Christian, and at that point, the Xerus became very, very severe, until you have later on, in the 350s, there was a tremendous persecution and pogrom against many of the surviving Jews of Eretz Yisrael, and then that was it. Then at that point, the communities in Eretz Yisrael pretty much fell apart. And a few years after that is when Hillel Hanasi set up the calendar as we have it in the year 4119, 359. So basically, the Rambam, for example, writes in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, which was in Perek Echad and Rambam these last few days, has been Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, and the Rambam points out, from the time of Abaye and Rava, they started being the Kaddish Al Pi HaCheshbon, they started a fixed calendar based on calculation, which means already from the 320s, they were starting to calculate it, and just what Hillel HaNasi did is he was officially Mekaddish in advance for all the years, until now, until Mashiach comes. In other words, again, the point is, in the 320s already, things were getting so bad as it is. You had sporadic things before that, like the story from the time of Rabbi Yochanan, but now things have gotten so bad that they had no choice but to make once and for all, we're going to have a permanent calculated calendar, and this way at least the people above all won't be left in the dark about when Yom Tov is supposed to be.
So you're saying that at the beginning of the Roman occupation, the Xeras was not so harsh, but they became really harsh during the Christian birth?
It seems so. I mean, I guess we can talk about, obviously, there were differences. I mean, look, you know, you had Roman persecutions that were so bad. You know, you had, for example, Hadrian's persecutions, you know, there. Then you had examples of what you were mentioning before, where they had to be Mekadosh, Chodesh, outside Eretz Yisrael, Bechlal, because in Eretz Yisrael, everybody was being hunted down. Right, but we're talking about after that, in the approximately 200 years, Hadrian was in the 130s. He dropped dead in the year 138. Rabbi Yochanan was Rosh Yeshiva throughout much of the 3rd century. So in his times, again, the Rambam is saying, in much of his times, it was relatively peaceful in Eretz Yisrael, but as we see from this Gemara over here, sometimes there were outbreaks of Gzeiras. Then later on, once the Roman Empire turned Christian, then they really started as a matter of general policy to persecute the Jews and try to force them out of Eretz Yisrael, yes.
But by the time, after the destruction of the temple, the Jewish people were scattered and all over the place. There weren't many Jews. That's why it was more quiet, apparently.
No, not so much so. Until after the war of Bar Kokhba, there were the majority, if not the majority, at least a substantial plurality of the Jews in the world were in Eretz Yisrael. After that, the numbers started going down, but you still had a very large, substantial Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael right down until the 4th century and maybe even beyond that.
Bar Kokhba was when exactly?
Bar Kokhba was in, well, his revolt was in the 120s and 130s CE. So you're talking about 50, 60 years after the Churban. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go on with the Gemara over here. We have more ground to cover over here. Okay. Okay, getting back to the Mishnah, we said Omer of Yehuda Ba'alim Ibn Yaakov V'chula. So again, the bottom line is, so we have different opinions on the subject of Isur Chalal Isur. We can say that Isur Chalal Isur more generally. We can say only in certain cases, only when it's an Isur Koilal, only when it includes other things, which is what Rameyer would say, which is why he says that a Gidan Nosha Shal Nevela, that the Isur of Nevela is Chal on top of Gidan Nosha. On the other hand, we can say not only if it's Isur Mois, only if it's Isur Koilo and Isur Chomer, like Rabbi Yisrael Glili, and we also have the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, according to the revised version, who would say that if, for example, a person breaks Shabbos and Yom Kippur, that he can actually be chayav for both, because one Isur can indeed be chal on top of the other Isur. You have other Gemaras that are relevant to this, in particular Gemara and Yevamos, and again, and the final halacha, as the Rambam paskins it, is you have basically three cases where one Isur can be chal on top of another, and therefore trigger multiple chatois or other consequences like that. One where the second Isur is Isur Moisif, it includes a new dimension of Isur. For example, before it was also Ba'achila, and now it's also Ba'anah. You can have Isur Koilo, where it includes more things than it did before. For example, before it only included the Gidan Nasha, and now it included the whole animal. Or, for example, a Tomei person when Kod Shema Tomei, before you had an Isur only to eat that piece. Now, when the person becomes Tomei, you can't eat any Kod Shem. Or Isur Basachas, where the two Isurim come at the same time, like Shabbos and Yom Kippur. In that connection, you have the interesting story that's told over in Seder Adoras that everyone's discussed it in Asicha, the famous story with Rav Avner, the Talmud of the Ramban, where you have this Avner became a Meshumad and became a high official in the church. And then one Yom Kippur, he orders his former Rebbe, the Ramban, to come to him, and he kills an animal and cooks it and eats it right there on Yom Kippur. And then he starts getting into a whole debate with the Ramban, how many Isurim have I just been over on? And then the Ramban asks him, what made you go off the Derech? And the guy explains, because you taught us that Hazinu includes everything that's ever going to happen in history in it, and I couldn't believe that, and therefore that caused me to question the rest of Torah. And he asks, where is there a hint to my name, Avner, in the Torah? And the Ramban tells him the famous thing, Amarti Afehem Ashvisa Me'enesh Zichram, where the third letter of each of the words spells out Reb Avner, and the Pasuk is saying, Hashem said, I will scatter them, I'll make them lost from the memory of people, and Avner on the spot did Shuva, realizing what the Pasuk is presaging for him. But in that connection, you have where before the guy did Shuva, he challenges the Ramban, how many Isurim have I just been over? Where the Ramban says one number, and he claims a different number, and the Ramban quiets him with a sharp look, where part of the question was, how many of these Isurim, what Isur can in fact be Chal on top of another one, and which cannot? So it gets into this whole matter of Isur Chal al Isur. Okay. So the Gemara says, in the Mishnah we said, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Ba'alayim Ibn Yaakov V'chula. Isn't the Gidan Nosha also already from the times of the children of Yaakov? So therefore he argues, and at that point they were still allowed to eat, Behemoth Tzmeis. So therefore he argues that's a reason to say that the Isser of Gidan Nosha should be Chal on top of Behemoth, should be Chal on a Behemoth, should apply to a Behemoth Tzmeis as well. So what are the Chachamim answer to that? So besides that, we said, in the Mishnah that they said the mitzvah was given at Matan Torah and is just written over here, but now the Braita gives more detail about the argument back and forth between them. So Tanya, we don't know Braita. Omer lo Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim said to Rabbi Yehuda, v'chinema alken lo yechul b'nei Yaakov. After all, the pasuk says therefore the children of Yaakov should not be eaten the Gidan Nasha, and there you could argue that it means even Yaakov's own children. V'alo v'nema ela b'nei Yisrael. It says b'nei Yisrael shouldn't eat the Gidan Nasha. Now the Chachamim argue they're not called Bnei Yisrael until Har Sinai. Therefore, you see that the Pasuk must have been said at Har Sinai. El b'Sinai Ne'emar, so therefore it was said at Sinai, like the rest of the Torah. El shenichtav b'mkayim, but Hashem told Moshe to write it in the appropriate place over here. Leidem eizatam nesalahem, to know why is it osur. In other words, Hashem could have given it like every other mitzvah, by Dabar Hashem or Moshe Leimer, don't eat the Gidan Nasha, but instead Hashem told Moshe, when he's dictating the Torah for him, write the story of Yaakov fighting with the Malach, and then after that write the Isur of Gidan Nasha that it results from this, but not that it was a mitzvah that existed until Matan Torah. As we learned yesterday, as the Rambam says, that in general, any mitzvah, that even a mitzvah that existed before Matan Torah, now, after Matan Torah, we don't keep it because it existed beforehand, we keep it because Hashem told Moshe that we should continue doing that practice. Okay, so the Gemara says, Masib Rabbah. So Rabbah says, what do you mean the Jewish people weren't called Bnei Yisrael until Matan Torah? We find even in Yaakov's lifetime they're called Bnei Yisrael. Vayisu Bnei Yisrael as Yaakov Avihim. And the Pasuk says, Bnei Yisrael carried their father Yaakov. This is going into Mitzrayim. And the Pasuk says that the sons of Yisrael carried their father Yaakov. So we see that that already then in Yaakov's own lifetime they're already called Yisrael. They're already called Bnei Yisrael. It's an interesting nuance, by the way, that we're saying that they're called Bnei Yisrael, and then the pasuk says they carried Yaakov. The Pesham Shnefal Hirsch actually has an interesting take on that. He says Yaakov knew they were going into Golos, so from his point of view, he's Yaakov on the lower level. They thought that, look, we're going to be reunited with Yosef after all these years. We're being invited to the country as honored guests. So from their point of view, they thought of themselves as Bnei Yisrael. We're on the higher level. In general, there's the idea that Yaakov represents the Jewish people on a lower level and Yisrael on a higher one. So therefore, the Pasuk says that Bnei Yisrael carried Yaakov Avihim. So we see, therefore, that they were already called Bnei Yisrael before that. So what do you mean they were only called that by Matan Torah? So the answer is La'acha Maisa. Okay, but that's long after that Yaakov fought with the Malach. So what do you mean? What do the Chachamim say when he said they weren't called Bnei Yisrael until Matan Torah? What it means is in connection with mitzvahs, they're not called Bnei Yisrael until Matan Torah. But meanwhile, as far as narratives, they can be called Bnei Yisrael before. Okay, well, Amalei Rav Acha Brei de Rav L'Ravashi, but Rav Acha Brei de Rav asked Ravashi, in that case, Ma'ihi Shai Talitzer. Well, in that case, then, you want to say that it's also from when they're called Bnei Yisrael. Fine, so we should say that from when they carried Yaakov to Mitzrayim, at that point, Gidan Noshe should be also to them, because at that point, they're being called Bnei Yisrael. And yet, according to the Chachamim, we're saying that no, they only became also in Matan Torah. Now that's according to Rashi and Tosfos. The Tosfos of Rosh says, I mean, are they supposed to know that the Torah is going to narrate and call them Bnei Yisrael at this point? Now maybe according to the Pesham Shnefal Hirsch's answer that they thought of themselves as Bnei Yisrael, you could say maybe, but at least on a Pshat level where they were the sons of Yaakov carrying him, they weren't. So how could they know the Torah later on is going to narrate and call them Bnei Yisrael? So rather, the Tosfos of Rosh says that Rav Acha Brei de Rava means it should become also from when Hashem told Yaakov that his name is going to be Yisrael. At that point, the Isser should have taken effect. Omale, because then they knew that he'd been called Yisrael. Omale, but Ravashi says, V'chi Torah pa'amim pa'amim nitna. Was the Torah given piecemeal, a little here, a little there? No. When they're called Bnei Yisrael, or as the Rosh says, when Yaakov himself is called Yisrael, it wasn't the time of the event when Yaakov fought with the Malach and got injured. It wasn't the time of Matan Torah, which is when all the mitzvahs are given. So you can't say the mitzvah was given then. So it would have to be either it was given at the time of when Yaakov fought with the Malach, right after that, or at Matan Torah. And the Chachamim point out that since the expression in the pasuk is Bnei Yisrael, and they weren't yet being called Bnei Yisrael, Yaakov himself is called Yisrael, but they're not called Bnei Yisrael until later, then therefore you can't say... Therefore, you can't say that the Isser should be Chal then. You're not going to say it's Chal at some random point in between. The only other alternative is to say that it's Chal at the time of Matan Torah, which is in fact how the Chachamim learn. So that's that. So that explains the two opinions about when the Isser of Did Anosha came into effect. So now we'll continue tomorrow with a similar thing. What about Avim and Achai? Is it going to apply to a Tomei animal or a Tohar only to a Tohar animal or to a Tomei animal as well? We're going to have a similar machlokas about that, and the Gemara is going to analyze that in detail. We'll learn that tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.